you know, the change in the gene development, there's a little bit of steam coming off, so the water is being driven off of the beans, and as that happens, they'll swell in size. They might start to have a, if it's really hot on the
trier,
but it'll start to get a yeasty aroma, or just sort of like cooking bread. But I kind of find that sound to be sort of lulling, and there's just little changes in that sound that the roaster picks up on. So even if you're over, you know, bagging coffee or doing other things, you're listening to that.
You get tuned into it, so you know when it's gone to the next stage, you can kind of sense
There's just subtle changes in that sound as the beans expand, and you know there's less room in this drum, and then there's more dramatic sounds when the bean goes through the first and second crack. And that's when things really start happening. So you have to be right here, you know, controlling the flame, controlling your airflow.
It's like a big kiln to me. It looks like a kiln.
Yeah, like you know, clothes dryer.
Clothes dryer. Yeah. And how long does it take beginning to end, or does that depend on the roast?
It depends on the roast, and it depends on the batch. So at a full batch size, if we're going to a really light roast, it might be, you know, 13:30 to 15 minutes. And then if you're going to a dark French roast again, it might be 16 to 17. Our longest would probably be the espresso, which would go maybe 18, 19. And if you go kind of longer than that, you're more baking the coffee as opposed to roasting it. So watching the roast times, keeping the roast times really short, but still kind of hitting the temperature benchmarks that you want is, you know, one of our tips for roasting.
Kind of like gently getting it to where you need to get it so that you don't cause damage to the bean along the way?
Well, gently at some parts. I mean, the beginning stage of the roast, kind of like what we're looking at right now, you do sort of want to just get the water driven off. Oh, you start to hear those. Okay. The part where we try to be more gentle with the, we can be a little more aggressive at this stage or applying heat to it, because the beans are taking on the heat from the roasting machine. But there comes a stage in the roast where, because the beans are fracturing their own sugar molecules, they'll become exothermic. So they're going to give off more heat than what we would apply. So the roaster has to control the heat that they're putting in so that the roast doesn't ramp up and go too fast out of control. But then at the same time, you don't want to slow it down so much that your roast stalls and it doesn't continue in the developing. So, you know, kind of watching what's the color changes. It's a little more mottled brown, sort of similar to that cupping roast that we had next door.
And this is all hand controlled, so it's not like you say, machine, go to this at this time and then go to that temperature at that time. You kind of watch it, listen. It's kind of like it's an art form.
Yeah, it's like cooking with a gas stove. I mean, we do have, you know, we're watching the time, we're watching the temperature. So this one's the internal bean mass temperature. This one's our exhaust temperature. And then we have just a safety control. We don't want it to go over that.
Yeah.
That'll just shut the gas off if it goes too hot. So you can start to hear that popping sound.
Mm-hmm.
Popcorn.
Yeah, you can really hear it when you open up the little area.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's putting more air in. So we do kind of want to be careful towards the end of the roast not to be pulling samples like crazy, because it is going to put a little more oxygen and, you know, feed our flame that's in there. But I don't know what you have in there, so I'm going to try to stay out of your way.
And this is going to be one of our darker roasts. So the temperature will climb from about 400 now, where it's in the first crack, to about 450 to 455, which will start the second crack. And the second crack is sugars have caramelized and almost all the moisture's out of the bean. So at that point, we'll drop the roast and cool it as quickly as possible. So that's where the drama happens, I suppose.
I mean, there's a change just in that that swishing sound, at, you know, as the beans get bigger and get a little drier. So it almost seems to get quiet in a sense before first crack happens. And then there's another lull between first crack and second crack. But then when that second crack happens, that's when you'll start to see the little pin drops of the oily appearance on the surface of the bean. And that because it's, you know, it's so hot, you know, we're at over 400 degrees, that when you drop the roast, even when you're cooling it quickly, it'll still have just that residual heat. It'll continue to roast a little bit. So you want to develop your eye so that you know, well, if I stop it at this point, this is what it'll look like in 20 seconds when it's the cooling process.
As we hit about 425, this is really the first place where we would consider taking this coffee out for a production roast. Any lighter than this, it's going to be way too acidic, way too bright for consumers' tastes. But at this point, we've started the caramelization process, so it'll start to develop the sweetness, will temper the acidity. As it goes darker, the acidity lessens, and you rely more on the body and the mouthfeel of the coffee. Once you get to a dark roast, it's fairly body-driven as far as flavor goes. So right now we're about to hit second crack. You'll start to hear it cracking again. It's about 440 or so is when it starts on this particular coffee. And what I'm looking for now is for it to darken, even out, become slightly oily, which is actually an expression of sugar. And you'll see smoke starting to come off the beans here.
It happens pretty quick at this stage.
It does. At this point, there's no energy being applied to the roast. It's all being driven by the thermal mass of the beans. And so this is about to drop. Right about. But the switch for my motor is actually out, and I'm waiting on a part to be sent. So this is
you got the manual method going.
This isn't a daily thing, so okay. I'm going manual today.
Okay,
manual.
What is that, and it's probably something that's undesirable to keep with the coffee, right?
It would add a papery taste to it. It's one of the many protective layers in the coffee bean, so it's known as, you know, chaff or silver skin, and it's actually inside a hard shell layer that's called the parchment. I'm sorry. So that's peeled off usually right before the coffee is shipped up, but the longer that the coffee can remain in its own natural protective covering, it keeps a lot of the desirable flavor compounds inside the bean.
And this coffee, because of the way it was processed at origin, it it's a Miel coffee or a semi-washed coffee, it left a lot more of that silver skin on. A fully washed coffee wouldn't have this residual silver skin at the end. Just the processing method is going to do a lot, you know, in terms of how much that's going to show up at the end of the roast.